The following audio is from Hope Hill Church. To learn more about Hope Hill Church, please visit hopehillchurch.org.
Let's pray. God, we thank you. We love you for who you are. We pray, God, that as we now get ready to look into your word, that you would speak to us. Open our hearts. Help us to hear from you as we encourage one another and as we're encouraged by your word. In your name we pray. Amen. Galatians chapter 3. So a month ago or so, we began this series on the study of the Holy Spirit. Over the last series, we've pointed out a few things. First of all, unless you come from a church background that is not afraid of the Holy Spirit, that understands that the Holy Spirit is God, is a part of the Trinity, a lot of our churches, when it comes to the Holy Spirit, it's kind of scary stuff. We don't really understand it. We can be afraid of being led by the Spirit because who knows what's going to happen. And so over the past month, we've been kind of breaking down the study each week. And so I want to encourage you to go to our podcast if you've missed any of the weeks and you listen each week to the different studies. But even beyond that, I want to encourage you, even if you're just now stepping up to the opportunity, we have community groups that meet throughout the week, Sunday nights, almost every night of the week, and all of us are doing a study, an in-depth study on the Holy Spirit through the book, Forgotten God. And a lot of my teachings are coming from the week's content, and so this week we're going to be looking into chapter 5. I know some of your groups are like, wait, we're only in chapter 2. Some of you just take a little longer to get through it, that's okay. But to keep us moving along, we're going to be touching on chapter 5 a little bit today. To summarize where we've been, the first week we talked about how some of us had the understanding of God, God being one God, and God is one. God, there is no other God but God. But at the same time, in a mysterious type of way, God is also in the form of the Trinity. There's God the Father, God the Son, Jesus Christ, who is God, who became flesh and dwelt among us. He lived here on the earth for 33 years, lived a perfect, sinless life, born of a Virgin Mary. At the end of 33 years, took our sins upon himself, offered himself as a perfect sacrifice, and died on a cross for us to pay for us to have a relationship with the Father. That's what we're going to be talking about today. And this happened through the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the powerful presence of God in our life. Each, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are three different beings, each with three different wills, three different desires. In the book of Genesis, God said, let us make man in our image. And what God meant by that is that us, as he was referring to God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, all involved in the creation of the world, making you and me and all that we see. And God said, I'm going to make them in our image. Having a spirit, a mind, a body, a soul, having ability to have intellect and emotion. We are made in God's image. God is love, and therefore he created us with the desire to also love and to be in a loving relationship with him. For years, we have been looking for love in all the wrong places. There's one true and real place to find love, and that is in a relationship with God the Father, because of what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross through the power and presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And so we did a study in the second week looking at the theology of the Holy Spirit. Who is he? How do we get him? Is it an it or is it a living, breathing being? God the Holy Spirit lives in us. For those of us that have put our faith in Jesus Christ, God has made his dwelling in our hearts. The temple, which used to be a tent in the Old Testament and then a physical manifest building in the Old Testament, was where God dwelt. And in order to be in God's presence, you had to go to the temple. People would journey for days to get to Jerusalem, to the temple, to enter into the Holy of Holies where God's presence dwelt. But at the moment that Jesus died on the cross and he accomplished all that he came to die in our place, he uttered the words, it is finished. And the Bible tells us that the temple was shaken and that the curtains around the innermost Holy of Holies where God's presence were, they ripped from top to bottom. And now God's Spirit was being poured out on all the world. God no longer dwelling in a physical one location, but now God dwelling in the hearts of all believers. And now we are the church, whether we are sitting here together or scattered throughout, we are the church, the dwelling place of God, God's Holy Spirit living in our hearts. Jesus said, I am going away, but it's better that I go to be with the Father, because even though I've been with you, I will send another helper. I will send one just like me. I will send him, and he will not only be with you, but he will be in you. And we now, as living creatures, children of God, as we live on this earth, we have the Holy Spirit living inside of us. As we've gone through this study, we've also discovered that Jesus did not only send the Holy Spirit to live in us, but he sent the Holy Spirit to comfort us, to guide us, and to give us gifts. Last week we talked about what is the motivation. Why do you want the Holy Spirit in your life? Some people go to church for all different kinds of reasons. Some people go to church when things are falling apart, and they think, well, if I get my life right and I start going to church, maybe things will pan out and become better. Some people go to church and they go looking for the power of the Holy Spirit because they're ill and they want some kind of miracle in their life. And so they go seeking God for healing in their own life. Some people are dealing with marriage struggles and they're after God for what God might bring to their marriage. And there are all kinds of motives and reasons why we come seeking the Father. And I'm not saying that those are all necessarily wrong. But last week we studied and we learned that the Holy Spirit comes and he gives us his love and he gives us these gifts for one main reason, and that is for the building up of one another. If you have a gift in your life, or if you're seeking after God for something that's going on in your own life, and you're not thinking about the people that God has placed around you, then you're in it for the wrong reasons. God gave us the Holy Spirit so that we can become the people he created us to be, to empower and to build up and to encourage and to help those around us. Jesus gave us the Holy Spirit for the common good. And I asked the question, I asked you to look at your life over the last 2 weeks. There are these things that many of us learned in kindergarten, in Sunday school, in Vacation Bible Club. We learned the fruits of the Spirit. Same with me. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control, and a couple others I may have missed. Those are fruits, and they are a product of the Holy Spirit in your life. And I challenge us to look at our lives and to say, are those things evident in my life? Am I struggling with any of those? If so, I need to draw close to God and let God to take full control of me. And we talked about this idea of being filled with the Holy Spirit. When you became a child of God, in the same way that when you're born, if they were to take, I don't know, whatever it is they take, and they would take a sample of your tissue or your blood, and they were to examine it, they would be able to see in that the DNA that shows that you are a child of so-and-so and so-and-so. And the same way, what we're going to look at more specifically today is that when you become a child of God, God places his DNA in you in the form of the Holy Spirit, and you are now his child. Now, it's one thing for you to be a child and to be living in good relationship. It's another thing. How many of you have a child that's not living in a good relationship right now? You don't have to answer that. At least not out loud. It's one thing to be a child of God. It's another thing to be living and walking with God. And the Holy Spirit's desire in our life is to continue to form us and make us and help us to learn what it means to walk with God each and every day, each and every moment, being filled, every area of our life, consumed by his presence, him living through us and in us. And so we're going to look today at Galatians chapter 3, and we're going to see how this idea that God wants a real relationship with each and every one of us is the most important thing that any of us could have going on in our life. And if you're not there, if you're not in a place where you know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, where you have invited him into your life and you're trying to walk according to his will. And my hope and prayer is that you'll get on track with where he's leading you. So before we do that, I've talked for about 10 minutes already. I want to hear from you. What have you been learning through this study? Some of you have been doing the 40-day journey that we have, the devotional meditative thoughts on Facebook and on our website. Some of you have been reading those each and every day during this period leading up to Easter. Some of you have been involved in the Bible studies where these different chapters are being studied. Some of you are doing your own study on your own. I want to encourage you to keep doing that. What are you learning? What has God revealed to you over the last few weeks about the Holy Spirit and his power and presence in your life that you could share with our body today as a word of encouragement? What have you been learning? A passage, a word of testimony, a word of encouragement. What have you been learning? Who's first? Raise your hand. I caught you off guard. We'll take a moment to let it simmer. What have you been learning? What has stood out to you that is just really encouraging from this study? Don't wait to be second. There you go, Mary. Thank you. There you go. We all want to hear you.
I need this. Do I need this?
Yes, you need it.
Oh, boy. Okay, I've been away for a while. I have some family things going on, but I've been neglecting the studying part, but I can testify to the fact that John and I met,
2 months ago?
It was January, before my mom's
actually
thing.
Christmas Eve.
Well, no. I'm saying we talked.
Okay, yeah.
And I kind of said to John, I'm like, and this might sound dumb, but I said, how do you know? They always talk about, the Holy Spirit and invite God in. How do you know? Well, I can testify that I feel it. I'm starting to feel it stronger and stronger because I could tell I'm a different person. I think maybe you can kind of relate to that. I mean, I can really tell that I'm changing. Hmm. I'm facing some big crises coming up, but I'm getting through them. It'll be all right. So,
that's good.
Since nobody else will talk, I talked.
Thank you, Mary. All right, who else? Mary got us started. Who's next? All right, Diane. Who's next? Get ready. Get on deck. Who's next? All right, Diane, share with us. What has God been teaching you over the last couple weeks?
Well, I know that the Holy Spirit indwells each of us who believes in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. I know that he first indwelt me back in 2004 when I attended a Catholic Charismatic Conference. And I also know that he's the one who taught me to speak in tongues.
All right. Thank you for sharing with us. Who's next? A little awkward. We're supposed to come and listen to some guy talk to us. We're not supposed to be the ones have to talk. Who else has learned something? Share with us. Come on, I know God is teaching you guys. I know you guys are learning some stuff. We need to encourage each other with this stuff. Any of our students, what did God open up your heart to see this weekend? Adults, anyone? All right, I'm not going to force you. We got one? Okay. Got two. We'll start up here. Yeah.
Well, I was on the retreat this weekend. And
talk in the microphone.
Okay, I didn't know it was on. I was on the retreat this weekend, and last night was pretty much it was an amazing experience. Everybody was standing up with their hands up, and we were just praising the Lord and praying, and it just made me learn that prayer, is really powerful, and, they asked if you wanted to say, a one-sentence prayer to pray over for your school for revival or revival in yourself, and it was just amazing, and I, found some people from my school that are also Christians, so I just thought it was really cool.
Awesome. Thank you for sharing that, Lexi.
I think, yeah, like John has alluded to in the past, that sometimes we're afraid of the Holy Spirit, you know, because, like, if I'm filled with the Holy Spirit, I'm going to have to fall over or speak in tongues. You know, I'm not saying that those are terrible things. I'm just saying, you know, we're afraid sometimes, and I've been afraid. But, you know, Jesus said he would send a comforter to us. And so whether we feel bad or we feel good or whatever, the Holy Spirit's here, you know, because he promised, and he always keeps his promises. So, you know, so I start talking to the Holy Spirit instead of about the Holy Spirit, you know, because he does live here, and he lives there, and he lives there. So,
yeah, good. That's good. Thank you. Thank you for sharing, Gary. We're opening the door to some interesting topics. And over the next year, we'll dive in more to some of these things. We've talked about the fruits of the Spirit, and we've touched a little bit on the gifts of the Spirit. We've talked about why gifts are given for the common good. In our settings, you've heard the word tongues before. You've heard Gary just mention this idea of sometimes you falling over. When it comes to the Holy Spirit, there can be things on a wide spectrum of ideas. And so what we want to do with all of these things is we want to continue to go back to Scripture to get a full understanding of what is really the purpose of these things. And as we are driven into God's Word, God, by the power of His Holy Spirit, will reveal to us His truth. And so today, what I want us to launch off into is this idea that God desires a real relationship with us, and that happens through the Holy Spirit. So let's look at Galatians chapter 3, and we'll get into the actual Bible study for this morning. Galatians chapter 3, this book was written by a guy named Paul, who wrote about 13 books of the Bible. This letter was written to a group of Christians who were predominantly Jewish. They had grown up Jewish. And in the Jewish culture, you were religious based on keeping the laws of Moses. A lot of us heard of the Ten Commandments. Well, there weren't just 10 laws. There was actually over 630 laws. And a Jewish person was dedicated towards memorizing these laws and trying to do their best to obey every single one of them. And the way Paul was describing it is it's almost as if they became slaves to the law. The law was never intended to save anyone. The law was never intended to be spelled out by God. And if you score high enough on a chart of obeying enough of these rules, if your goods somehow outweigh your bads, then you'll be in good relationship with God. It was never written for that purpose. The law was written to show us how far we fall short of who God is. It was written to almost be a diagnostic chart to show us our sinfulness, our brokenness. I've referred to the study a year ago, whenever we did a study just on the book of Galatians, how the law is almost like an MRI. When we put the law up against our life, we see the brokenness in ourselves, and we see what needs to be fixed. And what Galatians, what Paul was writing to these Jews were, these Jews had heard about Jesus Christ. They had heard that Jesus came to explain the law, that he was the fulfillment of the law, that Jesus said, it's not by following the law that you come to know the Father. It's by understanding that the law is good, and this is what you should live by, but you're going to fall short. And the only way that you can be the person that God wants you to be is if you put your faith and trust in me, who lived a perfect life, Jesus did. And he died on our cross to forgive us of our sins. It is through that we become children of God. And so this book of Galatians, what had happened were these believers who had once been Jewish and trying to pile up a bunch of good works to earn their way to heaven, which we could never do. You can't build a ladder tall enough to ever reach it. No matter how hard we try, we will always fall short. And so they had come to the point of realization that although they were Jewish, they knew that their former way of trying to live life would just keep them slaves to the law and never set free from sin. And so Jesus said, here's the other way. It's me. It's not trying to build a ladder. It's accepting the cross. We learned that illustration yesterday at the Dare to Share conference, that we can't climb to heaven. We've got to accept what God has already done for us. It's not about what we try to do ourselves. And so in Galatians, you had these believers who had heard about Jesus and said, yes, we've tried all our life and we keep falling short. We keep messing up. We have these habits we can't break. And so, yes, we accept Jesus. We accept his love for us. We accept his forgiveness. But then they turn back to their old ways. Even though they had been set free from forcing themselves, they were looking at each other and they were saying, why'd you break that law? They had laws like you couldn't carry so many pounds of weight on the Sabbath day. Oh, you're going to go to hell now for breaking that law. And they were enslaving themselves back to the old system, even though they had been set free from that way of life. And so Galatians chapter 3 now, Paul makes it clear by saying in verse 26, Galatians 3, 26, he says, you are all sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ. You're not sons by obeying the law. You're sons by putting your faith in what Jesus did. Verse 27, for all who were baptized into Christ have clothed themselves with Christ. You come to the cross and you say, it's not about what I've done. It's not about the mistakes I've made. Instead, it's about the life you lived and taking my place on that cross. The Bible says that when he was on the cross, he took our sins upon himself and he made it possible for us to have relationship with the Father. And so, by putting him over us, taking his life and replacing it with ours, clothing ourselves with Christ, this is how we become children of God. He says, then, if once we come to this place, there is neither Jew nor Greek, Jewish believers versus Gentiles. You're one and the same. Both of you can believe in what Jesus did for you and both be made children of God. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for all of you are one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed. See, the Jewish people thought they were special because they were literally descendants of Abraham, God's chosen one. And the Gentiles were doomed. But Paul is sitting here and saying that Jesus Christ made it so that all of us can be adopted as sons of God. He goes and says, if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Chapter 4. Paul goes on to talk about that slavery that we were just talking about. What am I saying? That as long as an heir is a child, he is no different from a slave. Although he owns the whole estate, he is subject to guardians and trustees until the time set by his father. So also, when we were children, we were in slavery under the basic principles of the world. So the scriptures tell us that when we're born with sin in our life. There's no choice. Nobody has to teach you how to beat up your brother or sister. Nobody has to teach you how to be greedy. Nobody has to teach you how to be selfish. It comes natural. We're born with sinfulness in our lives. And so a time came for us to be set free from having to be subject and slaves to that sinful way of life. And in verse 4, chapter 4, verse 4, it says, but when the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive the full rights of sons. Now watch this. This is where the Holy Spirit comes in. Verse 6. Because you are sons and daughters, by the way, because you are sons and daughters of God, because you've put your faith in Jesus Christ, you have the full rights. Everything God has to give, he wants to give to you now simply because you are his child. And the first thing that he says, because you are sons, God sent what? The Spirit. God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts. The Spirit who allows us to call out, Abba, Father. There are many words for God in the Bible. This word Abba is probably the most intimate word for God in all of Scripture. this word Abba is the same as saying Daddy. Have you ever thought of the Almighty God as your daddy? As one that you have an intimate, loving relationship with, that at any moment and any time you could crawl up in his lap and let him, his love surround you. The Holy Spirit gives us permission to be able to approach God and to jump in his lap no matter where we are in life, no matter what sin is going on, no matter how far we've drifted, no matter what, we can come to the Father at any time and say, Daddy, I've messed up. Daddy, I need your help. Daddy, I need your love. And it is only because of what Christ did on the cross that he now gives us the Spirit inside of us that allows us to approach the Father. We now have the Spirit in us. God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who allows us, who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but now a son, a child of God. And since you are a son, God has made you also an heir. So God has so much to give us, and we don't have time to get into all of it today. But he has so much. He has blessings to pour out on you. He has strength to pour out on you when you have to go through struggles and tough times. He is here to give you all that he has to offer. And first and foremost, he is here to love you and to help you learn how to love him in return and love others. Verse 8, Paul gets back to the point. He's like, so why? You were once, formerly, you did not know God. You were trying to attain perfection on your own by obeying the law. You didn't know God. You were slaves to those by nature who are not gods. When we're born, we have this nature that is apart from God. But now you know God. And here's the cool thing about this verse. You don't only know God, but rather, he says, God knows you. You are known by God. As you sit there today, this morning, do you realize that God knows you? He knows everything about you. He knows every detail going on in your life. He knows every struggle. He knows every doubt. But as a loving Father, he is there waiting for you just to come to him. He loves you in spite of what he knows. He loves you in a way that only a heavenly Father can. So he goes on and he says, Paul is talking to this group of believers who were once trying to earn God's love by obeying the law. They had come and they understood they couldn't, and they came to Jesus, but then they were turning back to him. And he says, are you really going back to that way of life? How is it that you're turning back to those weak and miserable principles? Do you wish to be enslaved by them all over again? You're observing the special days. You know, the Jewish had special days, special ceremonies, special rituals. If they didn't do them, they were in trouble with God, they felt. He said, you've enslaved yourself all over again. You're observing those special days, those months, those seasons and the years. I fear that for some of you, I've wasted my efforts on you. Those are some pretty harsh words. And the key here that I think that we need to see is that as a person, God loves you, and God wants you to simply know and accept his love for you. He wants you to come to him and realize that apart from him, we can do nothing, but with him and through him, we can accomplish all kinds of things, and he offers forgiveness to those who seek it. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins and confess them to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So God loves you. And he's pursuing you. He's pursuing you so much that he became flesh and he chased us down. The question asked this weekend is, will we slow down enough so that Jesus can catch us? Have you allowed Jesus to catch up with you so that he can come to you? Turn with me real quick back to Galatians chapter 3:13. I want you to see this and I want you to realize this. That by Jesus dying for you, and by you, when you put your faith in him, the Holy Spirit comes, and God is actually now in you. Pause a moment. The Almighty God, the creator of the universe, the maker of all things, he's in you. Have you ever really just dwelt on that? We are God's temple. We have God living inside of us. For those of us that have opened up our hearts to Him. The second thing I want you to realize is the cost, the price that was paid so that that could be possible. Look at verse 13. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. This law, the 633 laws, or however many there are, told us that we are sinners. They pointed out the fact that we are in no way able to live up to God's righteousness. We are broken, fallen people who do not deserve heaven. And yet Christ came in reality of that, took our place on the cross, and He redeemed us from the curse of that law by becoming a curse for us. It says that by becoming a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree. He redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus. So that, circle that in your Bible, those words. So that Christ came and became a curse for us on the tree so that we might receive the promise, as Gary mentioned, the promise of the Holy Spirit. Christ died on that cross so that you could have the Holy Spirit in your life. Do you realize that? Are you living according to that? God is in you. Is there any evidence? We're running out of time, and I've only gotten a third of the way through my notes. I think we're at a great place to pause and we can pick up next week. Here's my question to you this morning. Do you realize how much God loves you? Do you realize the length at which He went to have a relationship with you? And now you can come boldly to Him, declaring Him as your daddy, your father, no matter where you are in life, no matter what struggle you're going through. And the Holy Spirit will lead you. He will guide you. He will help you to walk in the fullness of that relationship with God. It is the Holy Spirit that's kind of like the, what was His name? Jiminy Cricket? Like our conscience. There are some of us, though, we're not listening. The Holy Spirit may be in us, but I can't go down this path too far because we are out of time. But because God's in you, He wants to lead you. He wants to guide you. But sometimes we just need to take time to listen and to not ignore. A lot of us grew up in the age before cell phones. And I remember going out to play with my friends, and my mom would say, "Don't go too far because I'm going to call you when it's time for dinner." How many remember those days? Every once in a while, though, you realized it's dark, and I'd never heard Mom call. And it wasn't that she didn't call, it was that I was a little too far to hear her voice. And that's where some of you are. That's where I've been at times in my life. We've drifted just a little too far away from our Heavenly Father to hear His voice. We've drifted or become a little too closed off to hear the Holy Spirit speaking to us. He continued to speak. And He is continuing to pursue you. And He's just waiting for you to draw. Draw close to return. The Scriptures say if we draw close to Him, He will draw close to us. Let's pray. During our time of prayer this morning, as I've been doing, I know it's, for many, it's awkward to speak up in church. It's even more awkward to confess where we are sometimes to each other. But we need to realize that as family helps one another out, we are here to be a spiritual family for one another. So whatever God has been speaking to you about this morning, my hope is that you wouldn't just sit on it and leave and then eventually stop thinking about it, but you would allow these thoughts to dwell in you. You would allow God to continue to speak, and you would start to yield your ear towards Him, and you would really begin to listen. He is a heavenly Father, a loving Father, present in your life every moment, and He's speaking to you. He's wanting to lead you. Are you willing to listen? As we think about these things this morning, we will remember that all of this is possible because of what Christ done on the cross. We'll do that as we take communion in a few moments, as we take a piece of bread, a reminder of God's body being broken for us. He became a curse for us. And as we eat that piece of bread, we realize that Jesus allowed Himself to die in our place so that we could receive the promised gift of the Holy Spirit. So as you take communion this morning, don't just go through the motions. Let us remember that Christ did it so that we could have the Holy Spirit in our life. And let us be asking ourselves, as your body was broken for me, am I allowing myself to be broken for you? Am I allowing myself to follow your lead, or am I trying to lead you? Am I seeking you for my own wills and desires, or am I allowing you to lead me, and if necessary, dying to myself? As you come in a few moments to take this piece of bread and you dip it in this cup of juice, a reminder of the blood of Christ shed for us to wash us clean as snow if we accept His forgiveness in our lives. As He died for us, He calls us to live for Him. My hope and prayer is that in us we begin to develop a hunger for more of Him in our life. We don't want to just settle for knowing that we have a seat at the table in heaven one day, but we want the fullness of Him in the presence of our everyday life here and now. And that this hunger would well up inside us, a hunger to drive us to His Word, a hunger to drive us to walking a life of obedience, a hunger to drive us to want to see others come to know Him. And that we would develop, through the Holy Spirit, this hunger for Him. So as we listen to the Holy Spirit speak to us in these next few moments, as the band leads us, I pray that you would just listen for God's voice speaking to you now. I invite you to come up and pray with me if there's something that you would like to pray about. We'll have prayer team members in the back and on the sides willing to pray with you about whatever it is that God is speaking to you about. And if you have not yet given your life to Christ, do it today and let one of us know. God, I pray that you would just move in this place. I pray, God, that you would fill us with the presence and power of your Holy Spirit, that we would realize that you are a loving Father, a daddy that is ready to take us no matter where we are in life. You're ready to love us and to point us in the right direction. So, God, move in our hearts now and let us be yielded to you. I encourage you to move, to pray, to listen as the Lord leads you.